All right. We'll pick up 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll pick up at verse 22. We left off last week on verse 22. Paul says, verse 21, just to back up, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." And we see that. Matter of fact, I think Louise, in passing, she asked a question. I heard the question, but I didn't hear the answer. She says, "What does he mean by the foolishness of preaching?" And that is, I don't know what the answer was, but I don't know what the answer was that you heard, but I'm sure this will support what was said. It's not so much as the method of what we're doing here, but the message and the man of the message. That's what's foolishness. The foolishness of preaching is, how can you take this man and, as they say, put all your eggs in that basket? You think about it, who believes that, other than us, doesn't that believers, who believes that God put on a body and suffered and died, where he was a baby and then a boy and then a young man and then a savior, and yet he's God?
I never thought about it.
Very few people. You know,
in general, they're thinking, we're foolish. Yeah.
How can you believe that?
Just the fact of preaching that, yeah.
Right. How can you believe that? There's another explanation for this. We haven't figured it out yet, but there's another
explanation. It's coming.
It changes. Right.
Hey, Frank, to back up at 18, it talks about it being foolishness to the ones that perish.
To the ones that perish, right. That's what it said. But to us to believe, it's the wisdom of God and the power of God. Now, you think about, you got a better plan? Does anybody have a better plan to redeem not just people, but the heaven and earth? You know, they just had the blood moon, and this is probably like the eighth or ninth one. But every time it happens, it's, the world's coming to the
end. Things are lining up to be
right. But what they don't believe is that we're in the age of grace, and all those things are suspended.
And the blood moon, isn't that supposed to be tribulation time?
Right. And that's where they try to fit that in there and say, well, look what's happening. Look at all this stuff that's happening. But this is not the first one.
But anytime you look at it, it's like half pink, and it's not even anywhere close. You know? The image that they're showing you on the internet that's been photoshopped and makes it look like the apocalypse.
You're not supposed to know your colors.
Right, you're right.
Don't say that pink is really red.
You got to go with this now, Blake.
I know. But,
but do you have a question, Mike?
No.
Oh, I thought so. But it's all foolishness to them, to those who don't believe. And this is not the first. Look at this. Hold your hand in 1 Corinthians. Look back at Acts.
Acts
17. You know, one thing about just thinking about TV and things like that, those are the things that make it even more unbelievable, that make it even more seem more foolish. Is, for example, you ever notice this, that the TV is filled with superhero type figures, and or creatures, where the first thing you say is what? when you see that, you say what?
Turn a channel.
Well, turn the channel.
That's a relative question.
You say, well, most people, they say, oh, that's not real.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's stupid. You know, and I was talking to a guy at work just yesterday, and he was talking about Shazam. You know, the old cartoon Shazam. And we were talking about different things we grew up watching, and we were talking about, like, Johnny Sacco. In a giant robot. Okay. Ultraman. You remember Ultraman?
Well, that was a funny TV. Detroit.
Maybe that's a Detroit thing. But
what age were you? No, I'm just asking.
He's younger than me. 47.
I'm
47.
I'm 37. So
37.
So, like, G.I. Joe, Voltron.
Yeah, okay, like see? Yeah, I remember that. Well, let me pick one. Well, you could pick yours that you usually watch. But how about Spider-Man? Captain America, all those figures where you have these people that have superhuman powers and abilities, X-Men, that type of thing, and automatically you disclaim that because you know, that can't happen. So if I put another fictional character up, like Jesus Christ, well, here's a man who came from heaven. Here's a man who's God in the flesh. You automatically, that's what the Corinthians did. They automatically grouped Jesus Christ with one of the
mythological
yeah. or idols, idol gods that they had. What did they call them? They call them
Mercurius.
Oh, not by name, okay. But generally, the gods of the Corinthians, the Greek gods, those type of figures. Acts 17. Let me stop talking. Acts 17. Acts 17:16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him and said, "What will this babbler say?" They're talking about Paul, and they called him. Paul's a preacher of the gospel, but they called him a what?
A babbler.
A babbler. When you think about babbling, what do you think about?
A baby.
On about nothing. Foolishness. What would this babbler say? And he says, look, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. When you talk about the Greeks seek after wisdom, that doesn't make sense.
Supernatural power.
That's right. That's like a cartoon. That's where you know what? That doesn't happen. That's foolish.
Some of the stuff that people like you see on TV, which you know we watch a lot of it, and it's entertaining, but it's. There's a lot of people out there who probably believe that some of the more subtle, you know, like, you know, just people who have telekinesis and, you know, little things like that where they make them superheroes, but they're not flying.
Right.
A little more subtle. It's like, I know there's a lot of people out there that believe it. Like,
right.
They believe that, you know, and I know we're not using the percentage of brain that we should, but still, it's just funny how the things evolve where it's like people start to believe, they can believe that before they'll believe, you know.
Right, Jesus. Right. And it's a little by little, but they won't believe this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and he said, what will this? He said, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Look down at verse 29. For as much then we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he did what? Raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." Now, why did they mock him?
Just the idea.
Ignorance.
It was ignorance, but for them it was foolish. It was a foolish message.
They didn't understand it. They didn't.
That's, you know, do you remember when Jesus was, when he was on earth, well, that's where he was on earth, and he went to heal this man's daughter, and the man said, he was a ruler, he said, "I know you can heal her, and come in and touch her." And when he went in, and he came in, and he says, "Where your daughter at?" And they right there, and he took Peter, James, and John in with him, and the man. And when the people were in there, they said, "She's okay. She's just asleep." And you know what the scripture said? And they laughed him to scorn.
Yeah, because they all knew she was dead.
They knew she was dead. So like, but he said that he can raise her up. And they laughed him to scorn.
He put him out.
No, he didn't put him out.
He did.
But he took her by the hand and raised her up.
I just watched that on TV last night.
What, that?
Not that particular one, but where the Peter came in and the wife,
Dorcas, yeah,
was laying in bed, and the father was crying, and you know that whole scene, and he pushed everybody out, and then he left, and he goes into her and he hugs her, kisses her, and she just opens her eyes.
Hmm. Well, Frank, I'm glad to know you're watching something beneficial. But they laughed because that was the resurrection that was foolish to them.
What is that? God winked. What is that? The wink part mean? Like he's kind of like
he overlooked the time of ignorance, right?
So and just kind of like just. Let it go, basically.
Exactly. He let it go because... But now... Called now that...
No, he called all men to repent.
Why?
Because Adam sinned. He was the first to sin, and he caused all of us to sin.
He caused every man now to repent. He said, the time of this ignorance, when you used to worship a stick or a tree or a rock or animals... He said, the time has come where God winked at it. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent, to change their mind about what they're worshiping. Why?
Yeah.
Because now he has appointed
a day
when this man, he couldn't do it then because that man had not what?
Died.
Or that man had not died and what?
Resurrected.
And resurrected. He says, but now that man,
yeah,
he said, you're accountable to that man because God hath ordained him, and now
that's what Paul said, that he's going to judge all men by my God.
That's so he says, you, there was a time when I let that go, but now this gospel has been, this foolish gospel has been preached around the world.
So this is the dividing line when it's like, you know, when it changes.
This is it. Yeah, I'm telling you, the resurrection is the central mark in history.
Yeah, for sure.
It's everything centers around that. That's why he says to the Greeks it's foolishness. What's today's date? Today's date.
Tax day.
Tax. Well,
15th.
Besides April 15th, right? 15th.
I don't know. Earth Day's next week.
It's what? April 15th?
Yeah.
2014. 2014.
AD.
What?
AD.
What does AD mean?
Ad hominem, in the year of our Lord.
Our whole dating system is after a man that nobody believes. Well, few people. To the fools, you know, us foolish ones. But our whole dating system is based off this one event.
I thought they were trying to get rid of that.
They probably are.
I didn't know if they ever did or if they still...
They probably are.
It means anything. I was just curious. I'm bad about saying I'm going to cure
it. But it does. It means something. It means something because they want to get rid of that man.
Yes, BCE and CE, before the common era and the common era.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. It's like, it didn't mean anything to me, but it's amazing how much they're always trying to take a little here out, a little here out. It's like eventually it's like...
Just chip away. And he says it, but this is what he said. He said that some mocked because of the resurrection. But others said we will hear thee again on this matter. Same chapter. Look at it. Look at Acts 22. Let's make that 23. This is Paul, he's being on trial before the Ananias, the high priest. But when Paul perceived that the one part, and this is the Pharisees and Sadducees, they came together against him. But he says, but when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I'm a Pharisee, the son of the hope and resurrection of the dead, am I called in question? And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. You see that the issue is what? It's that foolish preaching again. All right, same book. Look at verse or chapter 24. Here's Paul again. He's maybe before Felix now. Verse 24:12. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a what?
Resurrection
of the dead, both of the just and unjust. Well, at least half of them, the Pharisees allow, but the Sadducees don't. All right, one more for good measure. Let's see. Acts 25. Oh, you know what? Two more. There's one more. It's this one. This one next. The next one after this is one of the greatest passages to me in Acts. I would say in the Bible, in Acts. But that's subjective too.
That's where you seal the deal?
No, that's the deal is sealed with you. You have to believe it. Acts 25, verse 17. To whom I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die. Paul is going through these trials because of his belief, because of the preaching of Jesus Christ, and everybody's against it. I mean, this is where they're sending him to ruler, to ruler, to ruler. And he has to defend this everywhere he's going. And here he says, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom when the accuser stood up, they brought none accusation of such thing as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. So, you know what? It's...
He hasn't received the news
bulletin. he received it, but he didn't care. This is a Gentile ruler who he's in front of, and he wants to know what's all the uproar. And they put them together, and they put them there, and they said, you got to hear this. We want this man to die. And he listened to him. He said, what's the case? What's the big deal? And they sit down, and he says, he's saying that Jesus is resurrected. And I'm sure he's probably, what?
You're wasting my time.
Why'd you wait, man?
With this foolishness about, no, he says, it's about their superstition. He didn't even say religion. He says it's about their superstition. When you think about superstition, what do you think about?
Blackjack.
What do you think about if somebody says, in sports, you know, there's a guy. Yeah, he has to
special jersey.
Right. What do you think about? What do you think about when you hear something like that?
It's foolishness.
Like, he wears the same socks, or he puts his clothes on the same way every whatever it is. You know, it has what?
Yeah, superstition involved. Foolishness. Yeah.
It's foolish, but you know, it has what? It has no relevance on what's happening. It has no. It's.
I say it doesn't make a difference.
It doesn't. It's irrelevant.
But to them, it's like a form of craziness in a way, or we view it like that.
So you could say like it's highly improbable that this has any meaning on anything else but you. Yeah. It doesn't mean, and obviously when you look at this. When Festus heard this, he said, "One Jesus." They got questions about their superstition and one Jesus, like some guy named Jesus, and now he's alive. It's like, you know, so you know how did that impact Festus?
Not much.
He gave a second thought.
He didn't give it a second thought. He says, because I know you, Agrippa, you have more knowledge of this type of deal. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you hear him. Now, this is one of my favorite passages here. Look at Acts 26.
26 what?
26 verse. Man, I don't want to read all this. 26, verse 1. We'll just drop down a couple of verses. Then Agrippa, said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth a hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Look down at verse 6. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Verse 8. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should what? Raise the dead. Agrippa knew. Agrippa was, he knew the customs of the Jews. He knew the religion of the Jews. And Paul says, I'm glad that I can talk to you.
Because you should know.
He said, because I know you're an expert in all the customs. You know what I like? I like when he said, why would you think, King Agrippa, a thing incredible? I love that. Well, that's not the one I was talking about, though. That's one of them. But he said, why would you think it's a thing incredible that God should what?
Raise the dead.
It's the foolishness of preaching that everybody else dismisses it. That's not good. That can't happen. That's foolish, but Paul says, I know. Here you go. Verse 26, verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should what?
Rise
from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. That's exactly what he said. You crazy. He said, much learning doth make thee mad. This is what I like. He said, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I love that. I love that passage. Because it's the gospel. It's the truth of the gospel up against logic. And you can see it. Here's the objector, Festus. Here's the man who's on the fence, Agrippa. And here's the man who's fully convinced, Paul.
And he
lets him have it. I love that. He says, I'm not mad, most noble Festus. I said, I'm in my right mind. He paid him respect that he's due. And, you know, he eased something in on Agrippa. He says, and in front of the king whom I permitted to speak freely. He said, you be quiet. He says, I'm talking to this man. I know you think it's foolish, but king, believest thou the prophets? I know you believe. That's a heart appeal. And that's what we have to do. Is when you're preaching the gospel, you go for the heart. It's like you're a sinner. You know what? You could be delivered from your sin today. believest thou this? I know you believe. Don't you love that? Yeah. You gotta love that, man. Okay, Corinthians. So we got verse. Does that, when he talks about the foolishness of preaching, you can see the how they responded to the gospel. To them, it was foolishness. It didn't make any sense. But to us, it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. How could you preach anything else but that? And he says, for it pleased God. Can you see why it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe? Mm-hmm. And we haven't even really, we've discussed it, but where God put everything in that act, in the death, burial, and resurrection, everything hinged on that. When I say everything, his eternal purpose. When he talks about God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, that's where it ended. It culminated at the cross. And we talked, it was not just the culmination of all the plan. When the Lord was on the cross and he was checking off that checklist, and he said, it is finished. That allowed him to be able to do what? Not just to finish the requirements for righteousness, but to go on to be, when he resurrected, he says, now all power is what? In where? Because of what? Because he rose from the dead.
And had to help us all.
When God raised him up, he said, now. All the verses are coming to my mind where he said, look, sit thou on my right hand until thy enemies be made thy footstool. Well, he couldn't sit on his right hand until he gets what? Resurrected. Yeah. And he resurrected him, and he ascended far above all heavens. Hold your hand there. One more time. Look at Revelation. Chapter 4. Okay, chapter 5. Let's try that.
Excuse me.
That's a lot. Verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. Who is he talking about? The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it has been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. But what I wanted was the fact that he said, who is worthy? He's worthy to take the book. He's worthy to open the book.
Like, I don't know if it's relevant or not, but the Lord wasn't wasteful.
He wasn't wasteful?
Yeah, 5:1 says they wrote on both sides of the scroll.
Okay. I don't overlook that. He wrote on both sides of
the... He recycled.
The Lord did the same with the Ten Commandments, so man couldn't add nothing to it.
So, but you, when... He hath prevailed. When the opposition and the adversary looked at the cross, he saw that as what?
Victory.
But he says, but when God looked at it, he says, I'm what? I'm prevailing right there. And when we get further in Corinthians, he gonna say, if they'd known that he was gonna prevail,
They would
never done it. They would have kept him far away. That's why he told Peter, when he says, I got to go to Jerusalem now to be suffered and to crucify and die. And Peter said, oh, no. What did he say? He said it last week. Or, well, it was last week, wasn't it? Kind of Sunday. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, thou savorest not the things that be of God, but of man. He said, if this doesn't happen, I don't prevail.
But to Peter, that was still foolish.
It was still, he says, how could this not going to happen? You know what? Let's keep going. A verse, back to Corinthians. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So it's not just they're preaching this foolish message about this man. And now it's even to the point where now is, did he really live? Is he really a real character? You know, and that's what I said, where they make it like a superhero, you know. If I throw so much at you and then I throw him in the mix, you just group them all together with all the other fictional characters. I tell you what, you take the kid's age like that, you draw all these characters up here, you know, all these superheroes, and you just paste them all up in there, and then you take another picture and put Jesus in there and say, pick out the superhero.
They each got their own.
Guess who will be last? Pick, let me rephrase that. Pick out the most powerful one.
Whatever the kids
are. I was going to say, not these kids.
Or not those kids.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing, you know, like we even talked about, like growing up, the way they would teach. You know, you have all these little lessons like, you know, Noah's Ark and, you know, just Jonah and just all these different things. And when you got done, it just seemed more like a story versus like a fairy
right.
tale versus like
taught.
And even the people like who was, you know, like Noah, they didn't really present him as like a sinner. He was just kind of like this magical person who made this ark, talked to God. And it's like you didn't really take in really the...
The
full yeah, right.
part about it.
And that's
later right. on, and you know.
Also teaching children, too.
Yeah, but the thing is, kids retain a lot more than you think. So it's like, yeah. you know, I remember the same stories even when you got up to like 12th grade, or, you know, they modified it a little bit, but it wasn't, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it sticks. So now, if you heard that, if you heard it as a fable when you're a kid, and by the time you get a teenager, yeah, I'm not going back there. All they talk about is stories.
Yeah, like Jonah is just a cool story about being swallowed by a fish. It's not really representative of Christ's resurrection.
You never realize, even though they say he's running from God, they don't explain it, like, you know, like why he ran from God or why he was trying to avoid.
Right.
How God's providence kept.
Like, he didn't like these people, so he wasn't actually wanting to save them. So it's like little things like that that just show human nature that you just.
And it removes you from the truth of the gospel.
Yeah, it takes away a lot of the meaning.
It's that foolish preaching.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing is, but that's what adds to it is when you get all this together, and people look at that, and they says, oh that stuff, you know, they think Noah's Ark, they think Moses, they think, you know, like this Noah came out. The Noah movie came out, and I wanted to go see that. I wanted to go see it on IMAX, you know.
Yeah. I still want to see it, but I just want to see it in retrospect.
It's like photography, but not
for the story, because you know the story's going to be Hollywoodized and they're going to mess up things. It's like, you know, they're going to.
Right. The story's taken from the account in the Book of Enoch. It's not even taken.
Well, I saw it, you know. Anyway, let's keep going. So he says, for the Jews require a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom. And that's how God started with them, with the Jews, as a sign nation. And excuse me, he said they require a sign. It's not optional for them to respond, for them to move, for them to do, to act on their belief. They have to see something,
to see the real thing.
They have to see it. They have to see a sign. It's not, they couldn't just believe the account. They have to see something, and
they had to act on it immediately, because if you went 2 days later, like in the desert, in the wilderness, they were back grumbling again. They had to keep seeing it over and over and over. Yeah. It's like a,
you know what?
I
was thinking about this the other night, and which was, it wasn't even related to this, but it was something that came to my mind. It says, if a man doesn't believe, if he doesn't believe what's written, he won't respond no matter how many things he sees.
Mm-hmm. No,
that's true.
He won't.
That's true.
You know what? Remember when Lazarus was in the gulf, and the rich man was there, and he said to the Lord, he said to Abraham, he says, let me go back. And he says, well, send somebody to tell him not to come to this place. And he says, they wouldn't believe him, though one what?
Rose
from the dead. And he said, they have what?
The prophets.
Let them
hear them.
And if they don't believe him, neither will they believe this. But guess what? Somebody did raise from the dead, mm-hmm. and went back, send them back to them. And what did they say? They still didn't believe it.
And they're always going to explain it through science. Like, if all of a sudden, you know, like we all just disappeared tomorrow in a flash of light, they'll come up with some way of trying to, you know, well, it's because the atoms lined up, or there'll be some kind of, you know,
anything.
Yeah, it's like they're going to avoid the obvious, even though it's written black and white.
They're not even really going to notice that we left.
Well, I don't know. That's, but that's what, and you know what I like this, when they say require, they crave it. They crave a sign. They have to have. When they met Jesus, they said, "Master." First thing they said is, "Master, show us a sign that you're from heaven." And you know what's funny? With the passage that he had just healed the man. And you know what? The people follow him, and he said the people follow him in John. his disciples, they followed him, and he says, you're not following me because you believe, you follow me because of the signs. And you know what the scripture said after that? It says, and many of them walked with him no more. It was that easy.
Humans are fickle anyway, and then when you get into religion, it's the same thing. It's just like, you know, if you, there's certain people who just have to have signs or have to have a ritual or have to have something, you know. It's like they're not going on faith, they're going on...
But we talk about that. We talk about the Jews. It's easy to say, you know what, well, look at them, but we're no different. No. You know what, we today as believers, we are looking for God to do things for us that he has not promised. And when it doesn't happen, you go into doubt. Mm-hmm. Where you sit down and you pray, he says, you can ask for anything you want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we pray, and you go, Lord, that's, you know what, this is what I want, Lord, please. And then, when it doesn't happen, you start your self-examination, and then you start blaming it on, you blame it on this. You say, this ain't, this is not real.
God didn't answer my prayer.
This stuff, God's not real, this is not real, because he didn't,
oh, yeah.
You didn't, when you rubbed on the, when you rubbed on it, he didn't pop up. Mm-hmm. And so you automatically say, well, that can't be the case. And the thing is when he talked to Paul, he says in Philippians, he said, Paul said, I have learned to be what? Content. Yeah. I have.
Yeah.
Not us. He's telling, I have learned to be content in whatsoever. I've learned to abound, and I've learned to suffer need. And he said this, the things that you've learned and seen and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. He didn't say he would do everything. He said, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God,
which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus.
He would do it. What about this? Whatsoever you ask my name, believing, I'll do it. He didn't say that to us.
Yeah.
And see, but that's the thing is, when by the time you're ready for, you know, the information that he's given you in Philippians, your mind has been matured. And you know now, like Paul said this in the Corinthians. He said this to the Corinthians. He said, I besought the Lord that this might be removed from me. And the Lord did it.
Yeah.
No, he didn't. He said,
my
strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul, being committed as he was, he said, most gladly then will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's not us. Because we want to find a way out. And this is the thing where you have to, where it's foolish. Can you imagine that all these people following Paul, and they see these miracles, signs, and wonders, and they're, wow. We know, they told Jesus, they said, we know that thou art a man come from God, because no man could do these things except what? God be with him.
Yeah.
All those signs, miracles, and wonders, they saw those things. And the apostles, it was passed on to the apostles. And when they saw Paul doing these things, all of a sudden, Paul can't do it anymore. Why do you think God removed the signs?
They were probably believing in Paul more than...
Because it was, he was doing it. He was showing the Jews that I'm going. I'm going. And I'm gone. And I'm over here with these Gentiles. and the signs were to show the Jews who didn't believe that, guess what? I'm over here. And when he finally said, when he's turning away from them, and when he finally turns away from them, there's no need for you to do what?
Signs.
Signs and wonders anymore. And now, the Gentiles, what we want to do is what? Signs, miracles, wonders. That's what we want.
Yeah, I mean, because that makes sense. It's like, you know, you start believing, you almost want to believe in, even preachers are like the big preachers are, you know, on TV that everybody starts following. It's like people more follow them than actually, you know, the faith part. They get more involved in like the preacher themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sometimes.
The preacher instead of
yeah. You,
no, they don't even know. They don't even read this. Let me tell you a story. This is, I think I might have said this before. I was in Detroit, and I went to a church. I was a lady. She says, come to my church, you know. Everybody's got the best church, you know. Yeah. And I said, okay. She bugged me by. I said, okay, I already know that I don't believe that, but I'm thinking we can have a dialogue. But one thing about, this is what I tell you about people who with signs and they grasp for the signs. They'll do it at the expense of this. It doesn't matter what's written. They're going for the experience. Is it your position or your experience?
They want experience.
So, and I go to this church and I hear the music before I get in there. I'm outside, I'm coming in, which is, you know, and I come in and they're, it hasn't even started yet. And they're getting ready, they're just warming up. And I come in, and I see her, and I just ease in, and I get on one of the pews, and then they start the, you know, the service up, and you know how it goes. And then they all, everybody in there, they break out into tongues. And I'm thinking, I look around, and it's like, wow. I had never, that's my first time seeing something like that. I look around, I was like,
y'all crazy.
I just wanted to make sure, is everybody doing this?
I didn't miss you.
And there was a lot of people.
Y'all not know the song?
But those are the signs, right?
Yeah.
That'll follow them that believe, right?
Right.
So, but this is what I know. I know 1 Corinthians says this. If you don't speak in tongues, he says, let it be by course. 1, 2, 3 at the most. And if you do it, you wait. If you do it, then you wait. And when it's done, somebody interprets. And it can't be you. Woman. Can't be a woman. So when I go in there and I see all the women speaking in tongues and I see everybody doing it at one time and it's at least 75 people in this place, this sign, what is this sign?
There had to be at least three. I mean, just saw three people only.
That was the governor.
That's the rule.
So that was a rule, and then one was basically, I guess, kind of like a witness or just...
1 Corinthians 14.
That was the government at the time, right?
That was Paul.
This was right. Well, you could say this is the
government that crowns to be able to be
14. That was God's. Listen, God, this is a principle. God says this, by the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Mm-hmm. What people don't realize is and why they embrace those things is at this time, when Paul starts the book of Corinthians, you know what he says? He says, I thank God on your behalf that you come behind no gift and you have been enriched with all knowledge and what?
Utterance.
What they're doing is getting the word of God out. This is what, so we can read 1 Corinthians today. And he says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Look at verse 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two. Or at the most, by what? And that by course. You know what that means?
One at a time.
One at a time. And let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, keep going.
No.
Let him what? Keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and that all may be comforted. And the spirits, small s, of the prophets are subject to who?
The prophets.
For God is not the author of confusion, but
peace.
As in all the churches of the saints.
And that's the government
of the Father. So,
this was the word being established.
That's right. So when I remember that incident very clearly.
Yeah, I think it stuck out in my head too.
Now, who's right?
The word.
Yeah. And I remember being in a class in Millington where this guy, he was a preacher guy in one of the Bible classes on Wednesday, and he was saying that, well, we went to this church and we had a Holy Ghost good time. We were, you know what, everybody was speaking in tongues. And I thought, this guy's a preacher in here. I had a question. I said, do you think God would violate his own word? I said, what do you mean? I said, do you think God would violate his own word? Do you think God would go against what he's written as a commandment? Oh, no, no, God can't do that. He would never do that. I'm sorry. What this verse says, that there should be an order in the way this was done.
You spoiled a good time. Since I'm rusty on the whole tongue thing, like I forget how it was started. Like just the whole thing, because I mean, part of it is it's not necessarily a language that any human understands, or is it like a foreign language that?
You know what?
That's a good. Where do we know? I mean, that's
a good question for y'all to do some homework on.
All right.
Since the time is up, we got to stop. But
it's utter. Isn't it?
Huh?
Thanks.
It's just utter.
It's just utter.
Yeah.
But we'll pick up Corinthians next week.
14.
Verse. Won't forget.
And 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13,
23. Also 27.
We'll pick up.
27.
We'll pick up at verse.
Wasn't the whole chapter?
Verse 23.
Okay, that was good, Frank. I appreciate it. Enjoyed it.
Verse. We got a whole verse down. That's.
I think we got more than one.
You know, what's funny is I was listening to the tape. Is it the last one of